Welcome back to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, and I'm in for Pastor Greg Huffman. And we've been looking at Joshua chapter 9 together. We asked the question in the beginning of our study, have you forgotten God? As Joshua was on his conquest to conquer the land of Canaan for the Lord, he comes across a group of people who, instead of fighting against Israel, decided to use deceit. They were deceitful in their look and appearance, and they were deceitful in their words, which tricks Joshua into making a covenant with this group of people, which he was supposed to destroy, according to Deuteronomy chapter 20 and the commandment of God. And now he's in a difficult situation. As we continue reading in Joshua chapter 9, these people looked innocent. They looked with their raggedy clothes and their moldy bread that they were from a faraway place, which was not true. And Joshua decides to make a covenant with these people, which was a huge mistake. You can't make a bigger mistake. When God tells you to destroy people and you decide to make peace with them, that is a bad mistake. But what I want to do today is not focus on the mistake that Joshua made. I want us to focus on how he overcame his mistake. And here's the reason why. Because we all make mistakes. But Joshua didn't let his mistake define him. He let it shape him. When we look at verses 23 to 27, Joshua makes a mistake, disobeys God, but look what he does. Instead of making the situation worse, he's actually going to restore fellowship with God, and he's actually going to put these people to work. And in verse 23, it says, "Now therefore you are cursed, and none of you shall be freed from being slaves. You will be woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God." You can go down to verse 27. "And that day Joshua made them woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord in the place which he would choose even to this day." What do we see Joshua do with these people once he learns that they're actually from 25 miles away? Instead of a faraway country, Joshua knows he's in trouble because he disobeyed the Lord. He makes a covenant with these people, and he's not going to go back on his word and then destroy them, because then he would have problems with God because he wouldn't keep his covenant. But look what he does in verse 23 and 27. He makes them woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation and for the house of the Lord. He puts them to work for them. What do you think is going to go through Joshua's mind every day that he wakes up and sees a Gibeonite walking around in the camp? You know what it's going to be every single day? It's going to be a reminder of his sinful choice. It was a reminder to him of his lack of obedience and trust in God and leaning on his own understanding. That doesn't lead Joshua to discouragement. You know what it led him to do? Learn from his mistake. And here's the point for us. You know, when we sin, yes, when we sin, not if we sin, because we will sin again. But when we sin, we are not to ignore our sins and pretend they didn't happen. We love to do that. If I just pretend it didn't happen, it didn't affect anybody, I can just ignore it, sweep it under the rug, and we totally forget that we've sinned against God. So we're not to ignore it and pretend that it didn't happen. But we're also not to let it cripple us or keep us from usefulness. What did Joshua do? He makes a mistake, but he allows it to grow him. And the important question for us is, how can we let our Gibeonites or our mistakes benefit us? We are to let our mistakes do exactly what Joshua's mistake did for him. It humbled him. It reminded him of how weak he was and how he needed to constantly depend and go to the Lord. And the same thing is with us. We have all made mistakes. My question to you is, how have you moved on from your mistakes? Have you let it consume you? Have you let it paralyze you? Or did you learn and allow it to grow you? Because here's what the devil wants us to believe. The devil wants us to believe that sin disqualifies us from doing anything for the Lord in the future. And I'm sure many of you out there listening have probably spent some time, maybe even years, not doing anything for the Lord because you are paralyzed from a past sin. You feel like, well, how can the Lord use me? I've been involved in wickedness and in sin. God can't use me anymore. Well, can I challenge you today that if you make that right with God and you make whatever sin it is right with others, then God can use you? We see examples of that in Scripture. Can you still be used of God if you were a murderer? You can look at the life of Moses. How many people, when they think of Moses as a murderer? No, when you talk about Moses, you talk about the leader of Israel. You talk about how he led the people out of Egypt. You talk about the crossing of the Red Sea. You talk about how Moses did this and this and this and God did this and this. You don't ever think of him as a murderer. Because Moses didn't let his sin define him. Don't let your sin define you. Allow it to shape you. Because God is not through with you. If you are still living and breathing, God has a purpose for your life. And he wants to use you. The reason that Satan uses this argument and wants us to believe that sin disqualifies us is because he has lost the war for your soul. But he's trying to win the battle for the effectiveness of your life. How effective are you for the cause of Christ today? Are you doing anything for the Lord to impact others, bringing them to him? Or are you constantly discouraged, defeated, depressed over your sin? That's the reason that Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came to bring us victory. Not only to give us eternal life, but to give us victory over sin so that we can live in this present day victorious over the things of this world and over sin. So that we can represent God to a world that needs him. And the only way we can do that is through him. Don't allow Satan to win the battle for the effectiveness of your life. We all make many decisions every day, and I'm sure we've all made decisions that we regret. But how have you moved on from that regretful decision? Maybe it was a decision you made 10 years ago and it's consumed you for the past 10 years. Move on. Make it right with God, with others, and move on. Because the only one you're hurting is yourself. And maybe others involved in the sin as well. Don't allow Satan to win that battle. Don't allow things in your past to paralyze you from doing anything for God in the present. Joshua made a wrong choice. He owned it. He made it right with God and then continued to serve the Lord. So what Joshua chapter 9 becomes for us is simply a warning. You see, every decision we make has consequences, and sinful choices have bad consequences. And I'm sure you're sitting there thinking, but they were deceived. The decision they made was because they were deceived. The more reason they should have not relied on their own understanding, right? Because the end of verse 14 says they did not ask the counsel of the Lord, which means if they would have went to the Lord, maybe they would have made a different decision. And we are to live the same way. Exactly what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Don't live your life leaning on your own understanding, even when it seems logical. Even when it seems right. Proverbs reminds us there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to what? Destruction. We in our own selves have a way to make things wrong because we're sinful. So what may seem right to us may be wrong. That's why we need to depend on God. So my question to you is, even as Israel was deceived, and they made a decision according to being deceived, is it possible for you to be deceived? Is it an acceptable reason when we stand before God as to why we sin? Lord, I did those things because I was deceived into thinking that it was right to do. No, it's not an acceptable reason to sin. Just as Israel faced opposition, so do we. We have an enemy that is out to deceive us. Christians are involved in spiritual warfare, and deceptiveness is the primary tactic of our enemy. Ephesians 6 reminds us of this truth. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles or the strategies or the attacks of the devil. Because we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Why do we put on the whole armor of God? Why do we use the Word of God? Why do we recall and remember the words of God and how He's taught us to live? Why do we submit to the Holy Spirit who is working in our lives to do what God wants us to do so that we can be able to stand in the evil day? Because you know what? A lot of battles we face aren't fortified cities like Jericho. A lot of the battles we face are deceptive things. Things that we don't even know we're in battle. How many of you woke up this morning and thought, you know what, there's going to be spiritual warfare today and I need to be ready for it? It's just something we casually live without thinking about. And Joshua was caught off guard because he learned that opposition doesn't always look like opposition. And our problem today as Christians is we believe we can handle the spiritual warfare on our own. But can I just say, in the words of Paul, you foolish Christian, we need the Lord's help. The Lord has given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word to help, guide, direct, strengthen as we live this life. And we are instructed to use them so that we are not easily deceived. And if we live according to God's words, then we will be free from making the same mistake that Joshua made. So as we look at Joshua 9, can I remind you, don't forget about God. And the decisions you make today and moving forward, don't forget about the One, the Creator, the One who gives wisdom, understanding, direction, guidance, strength. In any decision you make, go to the One who can give you the best answers first. I hope this has been a blessing to you and a challenge to you. Hope that you'll challenge to go read Joshua chapter 9 and see these truths in there. And we'll see you next time on The Word for Life.